Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. It is my prayer today that you'll stay tuned in, that you will encourage others to join the broadcast. If you are enjoying the broadcast, if it is something that is edifying, encouraging, challenging, and informational for you each day, I pray that you're telling friends, family, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances to join the broadcast each day. We look forward to the broadening of our footprint, as we call it, in the community and across all of Northeast Florida and beyond. We're looking forward to having you participate with us today. We're going to be interviewing a guest today, and we'll introduce him in a little bit. But let me remind you, lest I forget it, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion together. It is my prayer that you will join in this dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about the way God has created the church and how the church ought to be run with the total family, the older adults, the older men, the older women, the younger men, the younger women, and not segmented, segregated, and or run off, as we see the occasion with one church carrying out that program. We're going to be talking about also today Conservative Theological University and the need for continuing education for pastors, preachers, teachers, those in theological positions, Christian education, Christian counseling, etc. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the monologue, the dialogue, and the discussion together today, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of philosophy or feeling. I've said so many times down through the years, it doesn't make 1 cent worth of difference about what I think, say, or feel. It's what does the Word of God say? God's Word is the final authority. It is the source book for truth in our lives. The thing that I encourage people to do is study the Word, read the Word, see what God says. From Genesis through the book of the Revelation, truth is found in the Word of God. And let me remind you also, Jesus said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then he gave us greater clarification on that when he said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God. I don't know about you, but it excites me as I study the Word and what I call the nuggets that jump off the page. It gives insight, information, and direction for my footsteps, my life, and living. And I pray that you'll be excited about the Word of God today and each and every day. Let me encourage you to stay in the Word, to get in the Word, learn the truth, study the truth, and to see what the truth says for our lives. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place today. If you don't believe that, look at what's happening in Washington, D.C., in the Beltway, even today. I'll enjoy the quote from a 15th century theologian and church father. One of the reformers in the 15th century. It was Jan Hus. Jan Hus said this, and may I read the quote very carefully. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I don't know about you, but that's my mantra. That's my, if you please, life statement, because I enjoy preaching and teaching the truth of the Word of God, pointing people to the truth of the Scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in a turnkey business packages for those looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a complete line of hurricane preparedness equipment with equipment such as Honda and all of the generation equipment for power outage, etc. Full line of landscape lawn care equipment for the homeowner and the professional landscaper. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. But ladies and gentlemen, if you ask the question, where is that found? It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where Old Glory flies. 165-foot pole with a gigantic flag on there, flowing 24/7. Find the flag. At the base of that flag, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened to read an article this morning, and I'll talk about it in just a moment. And we will enter into the dialogue and the discussion as we think about this subject, though, as we think about how churches are operated today and what is taking place with the churches in America. Let me just simply say this, ladies and gentlemen, we find, and this is not highly publicized at all, we find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if I can emphasize that, of churches that are closing across America today. One of the great problems is that of apostasy, the falling away. Another great problem is that the demographics of society are changing so rapidly that multitudes of churches are finding that they are not ministering to or reaching out to all of the age groups. There's a major problem, though, however, ladies and gentlemen, when you find a church that will make a decision of a specific age group and allow the others to simply be an outcast without any realization or recognition that it is not proper biblically. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have reached a new low in ministry for our churches in America today. Why would you want to ask older members to leave the church? Why would you even think that in some way this would be approved by the Word of God? There's a place in Scripture that would advocate, is there a place in Scripture that advocated all chasing the older folks away and telling the senior citizens to just leave, just focus on the younger generation? Yet this is taking place today in a church in Minnesota. Here's the article. I am saddened by it, heartbroken to see this as even entering into the mind of a preacher or ministry, that this is the appropriate biblical approach. Title of this article, Struggling Minnesota Church, Ask Older Members to Leave the Church. Subtitle, This is Totally Wrong. It is dated January 22nd, 2020. Cottage Grove, Minnesota. In an effort to reach the younger families, the Grove United Methodist Church is telling the older folks to get out. The struggling church wants to build a new congregation with a more youthful bent, the article says. Quote, I pray for this church getting through the age discrimination thing, one of the members said, one of those that no longer in the target of demographics. He says, this person says, this member, William Glacksetter, he said, literally, I pray that the church will get through this age discrimination thing, this problem. He's one of those that no longer in the target, the demographic for the church. The article further says, the plan is to shut down the church in June, reopen with a rebranded version, perhaps in November. A church memo recommended older members stay away from the, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if it weren't so sad, it'd be funny. The church memo to all of the older members recommends that the older members stay away from the church for a couple of years and then consult with the pastor to see if they could rejoin the church. Most members of the congregation are presently over 60 years old, ladies and gentlemen, this article says. Further, the quote goes, this is totally wrong, Glacksetter's wife, Cheryl, said when she talked to the newspaper. We are discriminated against because of our age. The church's average is about 25 people in a worship service each Sunday. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened by that. When you look at the millennial generation, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, there's they make up a large demographic proportion of our society today. But it's about 47% that even consider being Christian or pointed toward God. And out of that, only 4% 4% of the 47% have a biblical worldview. And that 4% that claim to have a biblical worldview, some 87% feel that it's all right for sodomite marriages. They think that it's all right to smoke, to have marijuana, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm using that as a corollary and a comparison and a contrast to point out to you the sadness of what we see in this article in relationship to the older members, basically, as I call it, being chased away, run off. Yet what's taking place in most of our churches today is to see the modern trend in the churches and the ministries today where the focus is on rock and roll music. In fact, there's one church that I'm familiar with that they have a kind of a rock and roll music where the strobe lights are going, all of the lights in the church are out, and where the ushers have to take flashlights to walk the visitors down the aisles to find a seat for them as you're in a theater setting or some kind of a rock and roll joint someplace rather than in the house of God. And ladies and gentlemen, that rock and roll music, and they, most of these churches, they want to present entertainment. In fact, according to the Gallup poll and the Pew Research poll, some 78% of the so-called Christians today are looking for entertainment. Entertain me. Make me laugh. Appease me. Do something that will be a wow. Get me to come back. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, and you've heard me say it before, if we have our church program and our ministry developed around trying to have a wow, some church is going to open down the street that's got a bigger wow, and then another church with a larger wow. Where do you stop the wow process to get folks to be seated in the pews? If there's entertainment, there's a church right here in our city, not too long ago, had a, quote, Christian wrestler to come in and did a wrestling match on the platform of the church, and that was the total service, and everybody just awe-stricken by it because that was Christian, a Christian wrestler that was entertaining. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to cease looking for entertainment and start searching for the enlightenment of the Word of God, the encouragement through the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not a place in the Word of God where there is found the emphasis where we need to have a demographic focus and chase the old folks away, the senior citizens away, and to have that teaching and preaching. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a focus on, I've used this term many, many years now, numbers, nickels, and noses. The numbers, how many people can you pack in the pews, how much money can be in the offering plate, and how many noses on a regular basis. The numbers, nickels, and noses. I call it the three N's philosophy for ministry today. It's so often what you find. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that the older men and the older women in our churches are the ones that's responsible for helping with the vital growth and the development and the nurture and the oversight of the younger men and the younger women into our churches today. In fact, in Titus chapter 2 in our Bible is one of the greatest roadmaps for that aspect of church and church ministry of any place in the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, God's Word says that the ideal is to have the mature older women teaching and training the younger women, and the mature older men teaching and training the immature younger men in the household of faith, in the body of Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what I think we need to focus on rather than saying we're going to focus on a demographic. I have with us today Pastor Glenn Davis. Pastor Davis is from up in Folkestone, Georgia. That's a good place to be.
Amen.
Brother Davis.
Amen.
Folkestone, Georgia, I'm delighted that he's with us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're delighted to have Pastor Davis with us. But Pastor Davis, I'm saddened to see where any ministry would think that somehow, some way, you need to, as I call it, chase the old folks off. If you're over 60, then you're going to be put out the pasture. And by the way, in that article, as I read a moment ago, you heard me say that, the pastor saying to him, wait 2 years and then talk with me and see if you can come back. Well, a lot of them be dead in eternity in 2 years' time.
I'm wondering what will really become of that church by that time.
Yes.
If they have to wait until 2 years
for
the older people
back.
To come back, yeah, and to give further instructions as to keep them on the right road in the body
That's
of Christ.
That's sad to me. That's sad. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Pastor Glenn Davis is with us today to share this broadcast with our listeners. And I pray today that as we talk about ministry, we talk about theological education, and then we talk about the Titus chapter 2 and what the scripture says in relationship to how we should deal with this question of the younger generation and the older generation being ministered to together in our local New Testament churches. Pastor Davis, welcome to Let's Face the Issues. We're delighted that you could be here. Long drive from Folkestone, but I'm thankful that you could take that drive today to be with us on the set to talk about some of these spiritual issues. Would you take just a moment, Pastor, and talk with our audience today and just tell us something about your ministry, your background, when you were called to ministry, why you're serving the Lord? What is your passion for serving the Lord?
Well, basically, Dr. Youngblood, I was saved back in 1985, and I thank God for the experience.
Amen.
To be able to come in under sound leadership at the time, the great Bishop Vandale Milton, the great Mother Peterson, the great Mother Pluma Everett, many other of the old matriarchs and patriarchs were there. They are not here now. They're gone away to be with the Lord. But I thank God for my opportunity to come up under their preaching and teaching, because society, I mean, is really hurting. They're looking for an answer on today. And the answer should be coming from the church. We set the bar for the rest of the world. We are not supposed to be following the world. The world should be following us.
Yes.
And I believe as shining examples, just like the Lord told us in his word, he said, let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. If we just get together and do that, then we can help bring more people into the body of Christ who are lost and hurting out there in the world on today.
Amen.
But I thank God for that opportunity to be able to come in under such leadership. And just to look at the direction that the church is going on today, because some of the older patriarchs are not here any longer. We got the young people that are coming in here today with no experience. Some of these guys are not 40 years old yet. They're wanting to be bishops and leaders in the church, but they don't have any experience. Neither do they have any really good morals. And this is what's really causing the body to suffer on today, because the experience is not there. The teaching is not there. The preaching is not there. And not only that, they are not living any kind of life that would want anybody to come and connect up with that body. So we need to come to know and understand on today that the Lord has given us a great charge on today, a charge to keep, I have, and a God to glorify. We have a God to glorify on today. We're not to take this thing lightly with a grain of salt. We have a great duty to perform, because the time is not long as it has been. We have heard the old people tell us many a times in the church that the Lord is soon to come. Well, his coming is more sooner right now. It's closer to us now than it's ever been before. And it's time for us as Christians in the body of Christ. We need to get our lives together and get it in line with the word of God. This is where sound doctrine comes into play. And I thank and praise God for this opportunity, Dr. Youngblood, that you invited me to be a part of the program on today.
Amen. I am so thankful for that. As you were saying that, Pastor, I thought about the Apostle Paul. He said, follow me. That word follow is the little Greek word that we get our word mimic. He says, mimic me as I mimic Christ.
Amen.
And as you were speaking about so many of them today that get in the pulpits and they start pastoring churches, they do not have the morals in many cases, ethics and values, much less sound doctrine in their heart and their mind from the Word of God.
Amen.
And yet they feel the need to lead people in the Word of God. And I say to every pastor, we need to be able to, as the Apostle Paul says, mimic me as I mimic Christ. Follow me as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our example ought to be Christ. Our pattern ought to be Christ. Our modus operandi ought to be that which we find in the Word of God from Jesus. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, this is Deacon Rashad Hubbard.
Yes, sir. Go ahead. And
good morning, Brother Hubbard. This is one of my good Amen. Friend and brothers that's calling in.
Amen. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm gonna make it brief because I'm babysitting, and it's just a wonderful joy and a privilege and an honor to join in with you all on this discussion. And me and Minister Davis, we got saved around the same time.
Amen.
Under the same leadership.
Amen.
And like was saying about, it's a shame that they're wanting to you know, run the old folks off, you know, the old Christians, because that's how we got saved. You know, there was a pattern, you know, that they set for us to live by. And the younger people that's starting out today, how would they know anything unless the older, you know, ministers and mothers and teachers teach them the way?
Let me jump in. It's just like, what if we had in our homes? Let's just picture this. Let's say in our homes that you have five children, and they've reached the age of 18 to 20 years of age, and they say, okay, Mom and Dad, it's time for us to take over. You just get out. It's our home, our house. We're going to run this house. We're going to do it the way we want to. It's not that way. God created the home as the family, as a microcosm of what we should see in the church, and it's what we should find in heaven. And that's where you have the moms and the dads that are making the decision based on seniority, based on their spirituality, based on what God has shown them, based on what they have learned, especially as Christians. And I find it antithetical to anything that's biblical to find where you'd want to run the old folks off as I call it.
Amen.
But go ahead with your comments.
Amen. And, you know, it's certain procedures that you go by when, you know, when you want to be, you know, members, lesson on, you know, wanting to just jump up in the pulpit, because, you know, you're supposed to be satisfied, and you're supposed to be, you know, learn from the elders of the church, you know.
Amen.
It's just like, you know, bring up a child in the way, you know, and how could you bring them up in the way without them being taught by the elders?
Amen.
By the elders. And,
right.
I'm going to share this with you. One day me and another gentleman was talking, and he was saying, you know what, where are the old folks? You know, and then he got the same. He said, well, you know what? We're the old folks now. And
that's
so,
right.
And so, you know, what was taught to us, we got to teach to the younger generation. And
amen.
So, you know, it's very vital that we have elderly people in the church.
Absolutely.
You know, because,
amen.
You know, they set the pattern to go by.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Hubbard, for calling in and, you know, giving us that little bit of information right there. As I said before, I told Dr. Youngblood, when we got saved back in the day, just like the saying is in the world, the old people, they wasn't taking wooden nickels.
That's right.
You had to come in. You had to mean what you say and say what you mean, because that's what they did with us back in the time when we came into the church. They told us exactly what the Word of God said. They stood on that Word, and they told us that if we wasn't coming up to the qualifications of the Word, they would not install us into any office. We wouldn't be worthy to hold any type of office, not even to be an usher in the church.
That's right.
They would not let you, because the first thing they would say, if you're standing back at that door when you got a visitor coming to the church, and you have a sour attitude, you are the first person that they're going to meet coming off the streets.
That's right.
So if you turn them away at the door, then what would they think about the rest of the church?
Exactly.
So, people, we have a serious duty to perform on today. We don't have any time to stop by the wayside and pick flowers. It's time for us to live for the Lord and live a life that's pleasing to Him. Amen. Dr. Youngblood.
Amen.
In fact, that's the reason that the Apostle Paul in the text in Timothy, in talking about those that are to be placed in office and position of leadership, that they can't be a neophyte. They can't be one that is, how would you say, an infant in coming into the ministry. It says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he shall fall into the condemnation of the devil. A novice is talking about one that's a neophyte, one that has no information or background or training in the Word of God. But thank you so much for your call. It's our delight to have
Pastor
Davis with us today, and for your call and your comments that add so much to the broadcast program today. Brother Davis, as we think about what was just said, it causes me to think even more deeply and more seriously about what is seen in that church in Minnesota and what they're attempting to do. And whether it was, this is blatant. This is something that is very, very, very unusual. But in reality, that's what we've been seeing now in the past 20 years in America.
Amen.
Perhaps longer, with the focus on the youth, with the rock and roll music, the blaring mics and the speakers so loud that you can hardly hear yourself think in some of the churches with that, where the absolute demographics focus on the youth rather than being on the total family, preaching and teaching the Word of God.
Amen.
And having the older families, the older moms, the older dads, to be able to nurture and to train those younger. We're going to talk about Titus chapter 2 in a moment in relationship to what the Scripture says. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, my name is O'Neill Young. I'm a member of Minister Davis Church.
Hey, and, brother-in-law.
Hey, and my question is to, I guess, the pastor that you was talking about of the church. I wonder if he must be a young guy in order to push everybody out of the church. Is it more about saving a soul and keeping a soul, packing the church with money?
Brother, you're exactly right. It is my opinion. Of course, the article does not give the pastor's age, and I did not go online and Google it, as they say, to find out. But I'm of the opinion that more than likely he is under 40. And with that being said, in that mind, that age group today, there's a mindset, 18 to 35 years old in particular, that they'll always be young. And I'm here to tell you, I'm still less than 100 years old, but I'm here to tell you that these years come and go very rapidly. And those that are young whippersnappers, as I call it today, give them a few years, they'll be in that category. The tables need to be turned. Would I like to be put out of the church because I'm gray hair, white hair, and no hair? Or should I have the privilege to continue to study the Word of God and serve the Lord Jesus Christ? And you have touched the, I believe, the capstone of the issue. And that is that so many of our churches today are focused on numbers, nickels, and noses. They're focused on how much money can we get into the coffers, how many people can we pack into the pew, and as a result of that, so often, it's promulgated out of the pastoral leadership, wanting to have the larger number so they can have pride and clout in the community and have a larger paycheck. I'll say this, and not elongate it, but a number of years ago, I had the privilege to talk with a pastor out of California, and the one that was serving as the admissions director at the time was not with us, not in. And so I talked with the pastor, and he was wanting to talk about information to be enrolled in our university, Conservative Theological University. He was wanting to do his master's. And I said, brother, if I may ask you, what prompted you to want to go ahead and do a master's? And he said, well, I'm pastoring a church with about 200 members. I had another church wanted to call me, and they interviewed me and wanted where I got my doctorate, and I didn't. I don't have one. He said, they asked, where did you get your master's? And I don't have one. He said, they didn't want me. And he said, it's a 1,500-member church. He said, so quite frankly, I want to get a greater credential that I can get a larger church to make more money. I said, that's the wrong motive, brother.
How
I said, I don't know you. Don't want to hurt your feelings. That's the wrong motive. Our motive for continued education should be that we can know the Word of God better, that we can impact the lives of others better, that we could reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ more proficiently and see more souls going to heaven.
Amen.
But thank you so much. Yeah, go ahead. Thank you so much for your call today. We're delighted that you took a moment out of your schedule to give us a call, and I'm thankful that Brother Davis is sitting here with me. Looking forward to this dialogue and discussion together as we think about it. In fact, we got about a minute before the top of the hour news break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to discuss some other things. Pastor Davis, take just about 45 seconds, if you can, and just tell us, what is your passion for studying the Word of God? What do you like to find in the, what turns your lights on in studying the Word of God?
Well, number one, Dr. Youngblood, is being first fully equipped to be able to do the job.
Amen.
That was my drive. That was my motivation. I've always been a bookworm, a person that really loved to study the Word of God. And I did not want to get out there and mislead people and cause them to lose their souls.
Amen. Absolutely.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back. We're talking with Pastor Glenn Davis, and we're going to be talking with him further about the educational process in Conservative Theological University.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.